Wood & Wire released an album 2018, the name of it, North of Despair, just nominated for a Grammy, which is a great accomplishment for them. Throughout the year on Unreal Bluegrass, you've heard several members interviewed from Wood & Wire, Trevor Smith, Billy Bright. Today our guest in the second hour is Tony Campbell. Got together with Tony in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we talked about the band and things that he's working on and how he got into singing bluegrass. Congratulations to Wood & Wire. There's a lot of great music nominated for Grammys. Just so happened that Tony Campbell of Wood & Wire is on today's program. Welcome to Unreal Bluegrass, Tony Campbell, Wood & Wire. Tony, I've heard your music and I've seen you play, and I've played your music from the North of Despair CD, which is, I had your previous Wood & Wire also, and I've seen you guys a couple times. I saw you at Grey Fox a couple years ago. And big fan of the band.
Thank you.
The new album, I've already talked to Trevor, your banjo player, but I'm going to talk to you a little about it. You're the vocalist that I hear all the time.
Right, yep, that's me, at least most of the time.
Tell me a little bit about the band. Trevor has told me a little bit, but origins of band always kind of amazed me.
Sure. Well, we all came from different backgrounds and different places, and we all converged on Austin in different ways. But I think what brought us together was just the small bluegrass scene in Austin. There was a bluegrass night that happened at this coffee shop on Monday nights, and Dominic and I met the guy that ran it, and he invited us to come play during that this summer, probably 2010 or 2011. And Trevor was gone all summer. When he got home, he was kind of saw us up there, like, who are these jokesters? I don't know these guys. And then we became really fast friends musically and personally, and then that's kind of where it started. And then the Old Settlers Bluegrass Festival, Old Settlers Music Festival, sort of added fuel to that fire and continued to grow.
When you say everybody came to Austin different ways, how did you get to Austin?
I went to the University of Texas, and okay. I was born in Houston. And went to the University of Texas for college.
Now, I know there's a real vibrant music scene in Austin, but I never thought of it as being bluegrass.
Sure.
Is that a smaller portion of the big thing in Austin?
It is. Yeah, it's a pretty small scene, but it's really fruitful. There's great players, and it's really inclusive. And what's cool about it is that it's just sort of part of the greater music scene in Austin. There aren't thick walls between the bluegrass and country or bluegrass and blues or whatever, even indie rock in Austin, you know. So we all sort of work together and we all know each other. But the bluegrass scene it's a special scene, but it's pretty small.
Did you have a bluegrass background before you met up with what became Wood & Wire?
Just as a fan and a listener.
Who were you fans of? Who were you a fan of?
Oh, I was I came into bluegrass sort of late in my life. As a listener, you know, around high school, late high school and early college, I sort of became obsessed with it. And there was a really good music library at UT, at University of Texas. So I'd go check out old folk, Newport folk recordings, old Ralph Stanley, Doc Watson, Bill Monroe records. And I'd dump them on my computer, frankly, while I was studying.
They don't mind.
I know. I don't think they do now.
They don't mind. They just wanted to be heard.
Yeah, and it was, at least from my angle. And,
who was singing? Because I do hear you as the vocalist most.
Right.
What singing? Did you sing before you started doing bluegrass?
I sang and wrote songs way before I started playing bluegrass. So, and even to this day, I'm more of a singer-songwriter. That's such a big bluegrass fan that I'm lucky enough to be surrounded by bluegrass
players.
Well,
I noticed on the album that you wrote most of the tunes, I think, are from you or with you.
Yeah, I think I had my hand in most of them, but this is the most collaborative one.
Okay.
And I think that's it's definitely a good thing, you know. I think the first couple I was sort of the main black and white songwriter, but as we've developed as musical partners, that's developed in a different direction too, and I think it's helped us a lot.
You have a really strong voice, and I don't like to compare singers to other singers, but for range, most people get away from the quality of your voice, which is really strong. I think the person that's associated mostly with bluegrass, the male singer that has the greatest range and can sing anything well, is Tim O'Brien.
Sure, he's definitely one of my heroes.
And I mean, Tim can do anything. And when I hear in your voice, it's not necessarily that you sound like Tim, but that you have that ability, phrasing-wise, to do whatever this band is doing.
Right. Yeah. It's certainly my biggest contribution to the band, I think. And I like to take guitar solos, but I only started flat picking, you know, not even 8 years ago.
Okay.
So, I mean, as far as like flat pickers in the genre, you know, it's not my favorite thing to do. It's not the thing I've practiced and focused on hardest. I focus mostly on singing and writing.
Do you have any vocal training? Just something that you did?
I've taken lessons before.
Okay.
But not over time.
Because you do have a great range.
Thank you.
You have a lot of power in your voice. And like I said, I'm not trying to say you sing like anyone, because nobody should. But your range is equal to some that I've heard that just remind me. You have a very powerful voice, and you can be higher, you can be softer. You have a lot of control over your voice, which to me kind of presumes a little bit of vocal training, as far as at some point you have to have some breath control to be able to hit those notes and stay where you are.
That was the best thing I took from the vocal lessons that I did take. And I took those lessons 5 or 6 years ago. And I probably took 5 or 6 lessons.
But you learned methods, probably.
I learned breathing methods.
That's the key.
Which was the most valuable thing I've ever learned. And honestly, in almost all of my musical career, was how to breathe when you're singing. And I found a great teacher in Austin that's taught. That's worked with Willie Nelson and all these famous people and stuff. And she totally changed my approach. And it made it to where I lose my voice less often. I have kind of a raspy speaking voice.
A little bit.
It starts to go if I talk too much. And but the breathing methods made me hit notes stronger and more in tune and without losing my voice.
And you don't waver.
Right.
You can. That, to me, is the key. You hit them and you can stay on them, unless you want to for effect, but you're not, like, dying off because you're... I'll tell you this, and I had a chance to meet with, years ago, Dean Martin's daughter.
Oh, wow.
I'll tie this in quickly for you.
No problem.
She grows up Dean Martin's daughter, who was one of the most natural voices ever, but Uncle Frank to her was Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank always told her, you have to know you can reach that note before you go to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of her breath, because Frank was a fanatical voice trainer and breather, and before a show, whereas Dean would just walk out and sing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that to me, when I hear somebody like your voice, that much power and volume and the ability to hold it, I kind of figure there has to be some training on breathing in there.
The breathing, I could already sing, but I was breathing wrong.
Yeah.
And I was aiming, you know, and the teacher that I had went over anatomy and what happens internally when you breathe, and if you breathe too shallow, how it works against the natural direction of your diaphragm and stuff like that. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, this is so much easier.
It makes sense.
And I could visualize what was happening in my body and then almost feel it. It was really cool. And I highly recommend vocal lessons to anyone that asks me.
I think that's a good point, especially if you're going to be singing.
Yeah. If you're already a singer, you only need like 5 or 6 lessons.
To learn the
methods. And then you can go back
technique.
Once a year to get a refresher.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad. I was thinking you'd had some exposure, so I'm glad that you're picking up on that. Mm-hmm. That's good. So songwriting. You do write a lot of songs.
We
talked about this being maybe the most collaborative effort, the North of Despair, but songwriting, is it something you've always done, regardless of bluegrass you have? You mentioned that already.
Yeah, I've been writing songs since I could play music, you know, since early on. And I would, and I still write a bunch of songs that don't get put into the Wood and Wire catalog for whatever reason. Either I kind of want to hold on to it for something, or I don't think, or we don't think it'll work really. And I also wanted to open it up to more collaborative stuff by not holding on to by sort of being more open to everyone working on stuff together.
So how you choose songs now as a band, I guess.
Yeah, kind of. This record was, you know, we recorded I think 17 or 18 songs. We kept, I think it's 11, and we wanted to put together the ones that felt the best. But we just kind of recorded everything, and then we chose the song.
Okay.
Now, you know, I don't know what the next one will be like, to be honest. At least up to this point, some of the songs that I haven't brought to the band are either just a little too personal that I kind of wanted to have for my own thing, or...
And you know now that the band has a sound or a concept, and even though you write a lot of songs, probably, like you said, some of them don't fit what wooden wires. They probably could, but some of them just don't fit there, so you don't
right.
think about it.
Sure, and I listened to all kinds of music up before I got into bluegrass, and it's not my first musical passion, you know. And so there's other ways that I like to, other melodic ideas I like to explore, and all of us do, and that kind of comes out in our music. I think it has a unique sound.
I think it does, absolutely does.
And I hope people feel that way, because that's really my what I want. I want to be set ourselves apart because we're unique.
You're very good. You have strong vocals. You have really good instrumentalists. I think your playing is really. I mean, Billy Bright.
I know.
I mean, Jeepers Criminy. You have all these guys who can really play really well. Trevor plays things that I can't even think of, and he can do them at the sound of light. You know, it's just like so easy for him. So you're strong in all those categories. North of Despair is. I have a copy, but how do people find it?
Oh, you can go to our website, woodandwireband.com, or just Google Wood and Wire. It's on all the streaming platforms. You can get physical copies through Amazon or our website. I mean, there's endless ways. But if there's a way you can listen to music, you can probably find it there.
And I guess if they go to your website, they can find out where you're going to be.
Yeah, definitely. Right. And the rest of the year looks pretty good, and then we're already looking at 2019. So. Let us know.
I appreciate you. Like I said, we've talked a little bit about the band with other band members, but you were here, and I thought, I'd like to get your point of view about things.
Sure, absolutely.
I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me,
Steve.
Thanks,
Tony.
I appreciate it very much, man.